Breastex, good morning.
Hello. Mr. Johnson, morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
I can see where you're not. There you're not troubled by yesterday's trauma.
Not troubled by what, sir?
The trauma that I had yesterday, because you know you can have your custom them nearly every day.
Sir, I felt nothing yesterday.
Yeah. I felt in my lawsuit yesterday.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson? Yeah, I felt in my lawsuit yesterday.
People started sending me messages, including people from overseas, and I asked them what they're talking about because I didn't feel anything.
Yeah. But I guess, Mr. Johnson, prepare more, you know. Because,
what?
I mean, I work in Canada over 25 years, right, Mr. Johnson? I don't get people going and working, but I was on a contracted basis. Like, how do you go to Canada, right? I work and then contract, then you finish to come home, right?
Right.
Because we had already, where is that we had Guyanese coming here and people contracted using them, right? Getting them next to nothing. I came out of the hotel there and somebody went to complain to let David Thompson. And he said he don't mind to come in anything, but yeah, at least you got to try to, you know, when your contract finished, you go and come back. I think Guyanese is very good workers, Mr. Johnson. I think come out of farms, right? My uncle's, he used to go down the other bank, donkeys and mules. My aunt married a Guyanese, and then she become a Hoyt, right? Well, my cousin married a Trinidad, so I don't see nothing wrong with if they come in and work. And what do you think about it, Mr. Dawson?
Sir, I have said on more than one occasion that if people in the region lawfully move from place to place and return to their country of origin when they have completed their period of work, if, as happens with Caribbean Development Bank, sometimes the media, various other places, workers are contracted for a period, their salary gets paid to them, they're paid away in Barbados, they send their money home to pay their mortgages or whatever, then they return to their country of origin and they spend their golden years there if that's what they want to do. I don't have a problem with it. The reason why I don't have a problem with it is because I have moved up and down the region. I have lived and worked in various countries. I've met people from all over the region working in other countries, raising families, getting married, moving up and down. This has been the way in the Caribbean since I know myself, I would say age 5. I'm now 61. What has happened?
You go, right? Let Mr. P know that everything is okay in Drexel now. We've got buses running more regular now in Drexel. But I want some kind of workman now, because people in the morning tell them myself and workman. Thank you very good, Mr. Johnson here.
Be good, sir.
Have a good day.
You too. Brastax, good morning. Brastax, good morning. Yes, sir.
Just want to come in here concerning the editorial in the newspaper concerning the sharing the finals in the region. I think that the editorial needs to be more explanatory because CPL is a private entity and they're the ones who demands X amount from governments and what governments can give them in relation to hosting the finals and the semifinals. Because if you look at it, St. Kitts Nevis capacity is nowhere near Barbados or even Providence or even Sabina Park. But when it comes down to financial, issues, the governments have that decision to make to give to the CPL organizers what they can offer in terms of using the venues for the finals. So the editorials in this paper is a bit misleading in a sense, because when these people approach governments about hosting the finals or whatever, is a financial situation that many governments may not be able to handle at that point in time. I think that should be made very clear. Secondly, in relation to Sunday's program, I was a bit taken back as far as Minister of Tourism and his statements about the cruise sector collapsing X, Y, and Z. Now, there's a lot of issues that one has to deal with. If you look at the fact that, say, Pelican Village, for example, Pelican Village was built and put there as a way of collecting revenue from visitors, but not revenue, sales. And we've been hearing for the last, that these vendors or shops are not doing very well. Because it's a double whammy situation. You have some of the similar shops located in the port, and the guests don't actually get to Pelican Village because the agents, when their ships arrive, they already have a program that these visitors have paid for already. And in that way, if you mean like maybe beach access or tours, so they don't actually get to Pelican Village as it per se. So mm-hmm. these are some things that need to be clarified to a point. And so when you have the visitors come off the ship, there's not much available for them to do. I also think that if you go on a higher level where you got a long-term visitor, our country, Barbados, has very limited to offer after 6 o'clock in the evening. And if you want to attract the age bracket between, say, 25 to 40, if you use the word to 45,
mm-hmm.
What entertainment are you providing? You're using Oysters. Oysters have now become a bit overpriced. I think that we are taking a piece of mahi-mahi or dolphin, and we want to sell it to the local and tourists alike for $35. Whereas you go to a restaurant, a sit-down restaurant, that same piece of fish would run about $55 to $60. I think that these are all the things that need to be, because the oysters in particular, their rent factor is very cheap because they are government-owned stores. So the rent is not a factor that you can drive your prices to that level. And, you know, it's sad when you hear people talking about these things and talking about the non-nationals working in oysters and all kinds. The Barbadians don't want to do the work. So you'd be able to get somebody to work. And I continue on the tourism line because they feel as though they come down now to St. Lawrence Gap. Where in St. Lawrence Gap can you name to me two decent nightclubs? You had the Shipping one time. That's gone. On a Thursday night, that used to be packed. The Second Avenue, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. You had After That.
Mm-hmm.
You had the one next After That available. Then you go around the corner before you get to the former Paulo Churrasco.
Mm-hmm.
It's now the Seahorse Restaurant.
Right.
That used to be a nightclub there as well. We have disappeared all of that. We have also taken away the Plantation. We were now building condos. And tell me, if the South Coast is part of the tourism market, where do these people go after 6 o'clock?
So you see, one of the challenges with the hospitality industry and the way we look at it and the way we view it is the changing demographic. Who are the people we cater into? What do they want? What do they want in the day? What do they want in the night? Do we provide what they want? Is the type of client that we're bringing in, people who would go to nightclubs, people, you know, does it change seasonally? In other words, the people who come in September want one thing, the people who come in May want something else, the people who come in December, January want somewhere else. Over the old years, Christmas, old years, night period, everybody having old years, night fets.
Yeah.
Right. Other than that, what do they do? The gentleman from the boatyard on Sunday, Mr. DeFreitas, was just talking about what do they do in the day? Why don't we have concerts, programs in the day as well, rather than, you know, why not have them, why only have them at night? Now, you talk about the nightclubs. We used to have bars, we used to have nightclubs. The hotels used to have nightclubs. Some of them no longer do. So we've changed what we offer the visitor, because at some point we went to condos, timeshares, high end. And then when we can't make money, we have staycations. I am not sure. I mean, going back to what you talk about the Port and Pelican, I said already, perhaps they should turn Pelican into a brothel and a casino, because the dark windows, people might, you know, go there and
that's
spend money. And spend money. But I was being, again, I was being silly. But, you know, if you redevelop the area so that it looks attractive and you bring a sense of continuity from the port right into the Bridgetown, maybe you would see a difference in the way people treat movement in and out of the city and in and around the city. But if you see the city as simply a place you pass through, as you say, ship agents who want to take them out to Bridgetown to see Barbados, there are ways you could show people Barbados that would make money for people all over Barbados.
But Mr. Johnson,
yes, sir.
I want to say to you, I don't really want to call names, but it's a company like Foster Nets. Mm-hmm. They're involved heavily in tourism. They go overseas, they market Barbados, they look for sales, and then when they're selling a package, the package is already sold, is like an all-inclusive package. So people come and they pay for what they get. Okay, fine, that's all right. If government is so, I would say, strong in saying that the cruise industry is almost on a collapse stage, which I don't agree to, I think that the government needs to look at their resources. They need to look at where their main strengths are, because you must remember that tourism is our main source of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take it for granted, another Caribbean islands come through the back door and provide the necessary infrastructure, the necessary things that what people want, right? They are going to gravitate to that. Because if we're talking about beaches and whatever, I've heard the notion about the Crane Beach is the 10th best beach in the world and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have traveled the Caribbean extensively, and I think that the beaches in Antigua is superb. Grenadines have one of the finest beaches in the Caribbean. And we got to be careful how we look at it. The problem that where we stand above, head and shoulders above a lot of those countries, is we are a more developed country where we have all the necessary amenities that can be derived here in Barbados, where we have a decent airport, a decent port, transportation, water, and our people. But again, people take all this for granted. In terms of putting things in the right perspective, as opposed to belly aching about X, Y, and Z, most of these hoteliers sit back. Not only hoteliers, business owners sit back in the tourism industry and expect government to lay out the red carpet for them, and then they generate all the profit.
Do you think they do not see themselves as being part of what Barbados has to offer? Do you think they think that what they offer is adequate enough and we should just deal with it?
They don't do that. I can draw an example to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the plantation closed down, there's a business on Maxwell Coast Road that have been opened up to John Public. The amount of business that goes there that used to generate at the plantation, from calypso shows to dinners, lunches.
And right next to you had the Pepper Pot. So there's several places in Barbados. I mean, Sam Lord's Castle was a major attraction. What happened to it?
Because Sam Lord's Castle find themselves in a bad management.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then it shut down.
And people, sir, and the artifacts in the castle that made it a castle disappeared.
Well, so who's to blame?
Well, I don't like, so honestly, I don't like to blame. I've listened to you. I don't like to blame. What I think we should do is, as I said, ask ourselves, what are we offering? Is it enough? How can we make it better? And what are we doing to ensure that people who come to Barbados have what we call a Bajan experience? What is a Bajan experience? Of course we could. Of course we could, sir. Of course we can.
I think that we have the necessary people. I think our entertainment is of a high standard. And I think that it's just a situation that you beat this old horse over and over when the entertainers saying they can't get into the hotels. The hotel may order a one-man to be the steel band or whatever. These are things that we need to improve a market that is ours, that we want to go to another level, and not wait on government to provide the infrastructure or the necessary things. Because I think that we have there's some bright hotel owners in Barbados, and I think that the entertainers are willing to work and provide that necessary stuff. And I'm concerned about this St. Lawrence Gap area. That is earmarked by the Tourist Board as your, entertainment hub.
But where it is?
Look.
Let me just throw a couple things in the air, right? Because I like throwing things in the air sometimes. We used to have a helicopter service in Barbados, a helicopter tour. The heliport, somebody at one point trying to develop it into something. I don't know what become of it. The heliport is there. Sometimes when you see pictures of that area, you see more garbage than you see an attractive area. You look at our fish markets. There's a fish market in Detroit, Pike Fish Market, that people go to from all over the world to see people throw fish at one another and catch it. Right? We have fish markets in Barbados. Why can't we develop our fish markets so that you have a restaurant upstairs with a plexiglass floor or a reinforced glass floor? The people would have to wear pants, though, because the people downstairs may look up and see more fish than they caught. But, see John laughing too, so I got two fishermen. Anyhow, so people go upstairs and they sit down and they look at fish boning, whatever's going on down there, and then they could have fish wine, flying fish done five different ways, four different types of fish, and it becomes a tourist attraction rather than a foul-smelling place, because fish smell like fish. Pike Fish Market don't smell of eau de cologne. They smell of fish. But that's what people go there for, and film one another throwing fish at people. Now, if you talk about coming to Barbados to see people throw fish, people will laugh at you. We have the Oysters Festival, where we put on a display of climbing greasy poles and fish boning competitions, and people get involved in it. But why only at a certain time of year? And then we talk about building attractions. There are attractions. There are things in Barbados we could make attractive, but we don't see it as attractive, so we don't want to bring anybody else to see it. I go back to the fishing village because I got seawater in my veins. What is wrong? We talk about Spitestown being dead. What is wrong with water tours in Moses, boats with the proper gear, of course, and I'm not talking about the people who go out and give you, not Tayami and them. People taking you along the West Coast to lunch in Spitestown, or taking you for beers in Holtown at X Bar, on a seaside trip of Barbados. The water sometimes is be flattened in a swimming pool. People chuck up on a cruise ship all day long. You think they don't want to get off the ship? I know they pay for everything and want to eat 20 meals and want to get back on the ship. But in the meantime, give them something that looks or sounds attractive.
But Dennis, you talk about the water issues and weather. Do you remember many years ago in Grenada, they used to have the Easter water parade?
Yes, sir. And that I know in Grenada when I was a young boy, right, we used to pay 10 cents to get from one side of the Carinage to another. And I could walk around in 10 minutes. But I can pay 10 cents to go across in a Moses with a seagull engine going pata, 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 pata.
Let me show you something, right? I remember my very first trip to Grenada. Mm-hmm. I arrived at Pearl's Airport. Mm-hmm. I was traveling to Grenans near the Charifta Cottages.
Right.
And in that area of the Grenans area, the Koyaba Hotel and whatever, whatever. They used to be like a park, like a basketball area where they have young children playing steel band music in the day. Where visitors were excited to see young people
having a good time
playing steel band, right? And so you talk about the Oystein Fish Festival and whatever. There are many other things that creative minds can put together in a package, because we know our high season in terms of the ships coming to the island. What when a visitor leaves the port, unless they're going from the port to Bridgetown, maybe on foot or maybe on a bus, what do they see? When you go along Travers Way there on the right-hand side, where there's quite a number of shades, what do they see? An open window to the sea? Nothing available. So therefore, the powers that be will sit down in their office and they'll bring figures. They'll bring statistics. But what about the actual doing things to encourage the visitors here? We had an experience.
Experience. An experience. Agreed, yeah.
You know? They don't have that.
And thanks. Let me thank my WhatsApp people for the correction. The Pike is in Seattle. I keep saying Detroit all the time. Seattle.
Okay, thank you very
Seattle.
Much.
Thank you as well, sir. Interesting comments and well made. And it's good to know that you've roamed the region a little bit and observed the differences and the and some of the attractions. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. 434-1790, the Wednesday edition of Dr. Brass Stacks. You can also reach us at 266-IVOB. Which is 266-4862, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Good morning.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
Morning, ma'am.
Hi, this is Marsha Haynes. I'm calling as the public relations of the National Organization of Women.
Yeah.
Earlier this morning, my attention was drawn to an advertisement that was put out by Carbeer, the distributors of Carbeer in Barbados, Brighton, Stoke. In one panel of the advertisement, it says, annoyed that your wife's girlfriend is nagging you for spending more time on CPL than her. In the next panel, it says, hit them for sick in the next panel. And then the final panel says, and get back to cricketing action. Now, I am not sure how in a region affected disproportionately and significantly by intimate partner violence, that the management of Brighton Stokes and indeed Carbeer would think or could think that this line of advertising is acceptable. I tried to reach out to the management at Brighton Stokes here. I wasn't very successful. But it seemed like their explanation was that the ad was generated in Trinidad. So because it's a Trinidadian ad,
we should
there
run
seems
it.
Not to be any alarm.
To run it?
Into. Pardon?
That we should run it because it's a Trinidad ad?
Well,
that's the biggest. I have to admit that has to be the biggest pile of nonsense I've seen since, I don't know, Ash descended from Mount Vesuvius. I do not understand where the head of advertising people sometimes seem to go. I had a problem with an advertising agency, and when I raised it, they tell me I'll never do another ad in Barbados because I raised it. We have got to set standards. That's crap. Anybody who printed that ad needs to have their head examined. Anybody who created it should already have had their head examined. That's nonsense. Pure and simple.
The thing about it is, this is not the first problematic ad that would have come out of Carbeer and Brighton Stokes here.
So we have no control over advertising. We have no control over advertisements in Barbados. What sets a standard? What makes our standard? And we decide that this is not good enough for us?
The other thing that I want to say too is that when we extend training to our partners within the sectors, there are certain companies, there are certain individuals that never engage. And I don't think that we have to or should have to legislate everything. But I really do feel, like you said, that these companies have to be cognizant that they're a part of setting the standard and setting the discussion with respect to certain issues in Barbados. Intimate partner violence and domestic violence has a cost. It has a cost not only to human beings, but it has a cost to companies like Bride and Stokes who lose productive hours and in some cases productive human beings due to this scourge. And I'm very unhappy. I'm very alarmed, like I said, that Bride and Stokes would think that this is acceptable. And I hope that they understand that the rectification of this has to be more than just to say that because it originated in Trinidad, you know, that we shouldn't be too alarmed. This is a company that services not only alcoholic beverages in Barbados, it services full bulk. It services a range of products that Barbadian householders use. And I think then because of their sale of a range of products, that at least their values, their corporate values as a company should be aligned with the best standards and practices that we want to engender within the Barbadian app.
Absolutely agree with you.
Yes, so I just wanted to raise it to the attention of people so that when they are partaking in whatever beverages they so choose, when they're partaking in whatever sporting events, that they can do so, you know, after having reflected on what their own values are and what they're willing to support or not in parting with their money.
Ma'am, I want to tell you that as a male, as a father, as a husband, and as a human being, I think the way we treat females, especially in our advertising campaigns, leaves a lot to be desired. It says to me as a male that the only way I can appeal to you is through your most basic and carnal instincts. And at several levels, I find that offensive. I am not a prude. I could be accused of all sorts of things if people want to accuse me of it, and I may plead guilty to some of them. I find striking females to be particularly reprehensible for a number of reasons, including the fact that the behavior is replicated, passed on to children, and the children pass it on. And sometimes people lash out in frustration and various other things that cause families to be broken, bones to be broken, and people to be incarcerated. It's a stain on our civilization.
I mean, even if you're talking about cricket and them being one of the premier sponsors of cricket, now we know that one of the challenges that we have in Barbados right now that we're trying to address is school-based violence. Now, if you have this type of advertising associated with cricket, how am I then comfortable to take my child to sit in your stand and partake in cricket when this is some of the messaging that my child will be exposed to? It is so problematic, this ad, that it could not just be an error.
I'm glad I didn't see
it. Companies don't make errors like this.
I'm glad I didn't see it. That's all I can tell you. I'm really glad I didn't see it. Because this is just wrong. It's just wrong.
Absolutely.
It's just wrong.
Absolutely. And the brand manager of Carib is a woman. I think that is what struck me the most and what set off a whole set of questions in my own. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. That's the piece de resistance. The brand manager is female. Okay. Perhaps she sees nothing wrong with being hit for six with a cricket bat, perhaps. Look. Advertising standards. Are there any? Where are they? There was an ad that the tagline was changed, and I thought it didn't make sense, and I complained to the advertising agency. And they were not happy. So they blacklisted me. I sit here and what I do is play ads. That's what I'm paid to do. I'm paid to play ads, because that's what makes this station money. What I do in between the playing of the ads is based on station policy and what they allow me to do. But what I'm paid to do is to play ads. If people who sit in this business and play ads, and people who sit in the newspaper and print ads, because that's what they're paid to do, too, to print ads, what they put in between the ads is up to them. So the more ads they have, the more space they have to put other things in. When they don't have ads, you notice how thin the newspaper is. So the people who play the place ads, I know we need the money, but you got at some point to say, you know what, I ain't like this one. But it came from Trinidad, okay? Trinidad have an issue with domestic violence, big issue with domestic violence. They just had a big noise in Trinidad with the opposition because the government had some skit with somebody pulling off a sari off a lady and violence. They got big problems, and you can write that ad. Okay. Creativity, thou art gone to brutish beasts, and men have no brains. Feel sorry for those of us who still have. Dying breed. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Harry. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
I'm getting a Vivada.
So I've been hearing it too. I don't not sure what it is, but we're working on it. We've done some adjustments to our studios. We've placed the moderator in another place, and the producer, we've separated them, so perhaps we just have to work out those little kinks. Tell me, what's up?
Yeah, well, this is the Education Minister Sanchim Brancher and VOB's Graham Vaughan. Today is 90 days since the deliverance from the teeth. Thankfully, the bleeder has stopped and the rescue/rebuilding process is on the way. I believe some people come to this program and just shoot from their lip. Now, the guy that talked about this, he said, I'm struggling with the fever. With the new legislation that with the Caribbean National, he said that it was quick. It was rather quick. I hope he should have known that this was agreed to since 2006. So, you know, this is since 2006. Now, I remember when, prior to the last administration was in office, they had this talk about that, the Guyanese, you know, who ran Barbados, the sinking the country, and the talk about 40,000 Guyanese were staying in the country. The 2010 census indicated that 14,706 people were from the Caribbean countries. This is the largest number from Guyana, 6,277. You know, they've been in office for 10 years. And they had not correct the myth that they had 40,000 illegal immigrant Guyanese in the country. They also touted that the Guyanese would pull down Barbados, they send back home the foreign reserves, etc. Now look at what happened. The late Prime Minister Thompson gave them time to regularize themselves. Apparently, the people went back to Guyana. And look at Barbados economy between 2008 and 2018. And when the Guyanese were virtually run out of the country, and that is the said period that Barbados economy was at its worst ever. They also accused the Guyanese that were stayed in the country that used to send back the foreigners to their family. And as we speak, we have the lowest foreign reserves for over 20-something years. So, you know, it's just going down the wrong line. Barbados need regional integration. Barbados, 277,000 people. We cannot really move forward. You have to see regionally, in fact, globally, in order that we can maximize greatest effort. So forget about the talk, but you know what I find? What I find in Barbadians, Barbados like to talk that. Man, there's a Barbadian heading UN, there's a head of Barbadian heading this thing, the next thing. But then they criticize now people coming to Barbados. Once that you, in fact, the agreement was that the people will have a 6-month stay in the, once the travel come national. Mm-hmm. That's what made Barbados had to pay out $77,000 to Shanice Mary. You know, there are restrictions. You don't just, everybody just can't come in. Once they get it right, they can come for the 6 months and it's be regulated. So I don't want them to go down the road because, in fact, the last 10 years showed them clearly in a case of having nationals. You also have an issue with the NIS fund where that the population, Barbados's population is in decline. So you also need people to support the fund. That's happening even in Japan and other places in the world. So these guys need to do some more research before they come to the program and shoot from the lip. Okay?
Okay, sir. There are countries in the world that have determined that immigration is the way they will increase their working population. Canada has. You have other countries that have placed restrictions on the type of nationals or the type of people that they want. The United States, Australia had somebody saying at one point, sometime recently as well. This whole question of immigration, migration, movement of people in and out of Europe, they have challenges. It's a worldwide phenomenon, and it has to be tackled in a humane manner. It has to be tackled by border controls being placed and utilized in a manner that allows people to pursue their legitimate business, but at the same time protecting your borders from those who would want to exploit it. It is an emotional issue for plenty of people, and there are political dynamics as well at play. And we have a general mistrust of people from our own region for various reasons. Over a period of time, it rears its head, and then we quietly do other things under cover of dark. And while there are other people, we allow to walk freely into our territories, and they cause just as much havoc. It's just that we don't pay attention to them. We call them investors. We've had people come to the Caribbean as investors, start businesses that have deprived our people of their income, caused our country's names to be blacklisted. But we have citizenship by investment to encourage more to come. How do we balance one against the other? Or do we even bother to? Just my perspectives. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.